Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Before we get our show started today, please enjoy this message from our sponsors.
When 6-year-old Hannah's brutal honesty is mistaken for lying, she stops speaking entirely. Her family, her community, and eventually the entire nation are ripped apart by her silence. One word could put an end to the chaos if Hannah could only find her voice. Hannah's Voice by Rob Grindstaff is available at Amazon and many other fine bookstores. Liberty lovers will appreciate Hannah's struggle against authority and her desire to be left alone. So get your copy today.
Welcome back. I hope you guys will definitely get a copy of that book, Hannah's Voice. It's from our sponsor, Rob Grindstaff. Rob, hope you're enjoying the show so far. Let's get into the issues of the day. Today we're going to be talking about Carly Fiorina, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Laura Myers. Laura, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Today is Friday, June the 12th. And we're going to be talking today about Carly Fiorina. She gave a speech yesterday in Washington, D.C., and she says that it's time for the GOP to reclaim the term feminist. And so we're going to talk about Carly Fiorina because she's been saying a lot of very interesting things, things that make my libertarian insides get all tingly and excited. But let me read to you from Politico, and we'll stop and start throughout this article so I can ask some questions to Laura, because Laura, you're kind of a fan of Carly, right?
I'm a Carly fan.
We're liking Carly Fiorina here these days. And you know, whenever any new Republican comes on the stage, I'm like, all right, how do they suck? And so far, I actually have not been finding anything with Carly that's sort of, that there's no been, not been any red flags. Maybe we watched a foreign policy discussion this morning that, like, you know, maybe we were some yellow flags, but no red flags just yet. So this, she's kind of an exciting candidate, and certainly she seems to be way more experienced and professional than Sarah Palin is. And I kind of like Sarah Palin, which gets me a lot of crap from libertarians. But Fiorina seems to be head and shoulders above the Palin, the thrilla from Wasilla, Miss Palin. But let's talk about Carly Fiorina and her ideas. Running as the only female presidential contender in a party still dogged for its, quote, war on women, Carly Fiorina on Thursday laid out her vision of the new feminist. In the 6 weeks since she launched her White House run, Fiorina has focused much of her energy attacking Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton, taking on a much more aggressive posture than the rest of the Republican field. Right, because she can get away with that. But on Thursday, Fiorina released a personal speech on the, quote, state of women, in which she did not mention Clinton. Instead, she shared anecdotes of her own struggles and called for a new definition of what a feminist in America looks like, a woman who lives the life she chooses. Fiorina, who worked her way up from being a secretary to CEO of Hewlett-Packard, talked about the sexism, both explicit and implicit, she experienced in the workforce. She reflected on being called the token bimbo by a boss, her colleagues holding client meetings at strip clubs while she worked at AT&T, and most recently being asked about her nail polish and hormones by reporters on the campaign trail. Wow.
That's important.
That is, yeah. It's obviously not important, but I think that some of the things that are the sexist things that are flung at women is that they tend to be emotional. They'll make decisions based on emotional reasons.
Sure.
And it's fair and it's unfair. It's fair when you have people going out saying, I'm voting for Hillary Clinton because she's a woman, because right there is a person saying, I'm making a decision based on my emotions and my gender.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I'm making a decision based on emotional decision, not a rational decision. So in that sense, but the thing is that it's not a fair attack on Carly, because Carly hasn't displayed any sort of emotionality that you would see as being something characteristic of a, quote, typical woman.
Yeah,
right?
Frivolous.
Exactly. During a press call ahead of the evening speech at CEI in D.C., Fiorina challenged the contention that she's a one-trick candidate laser-focused on Clinton. I have answered hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of questions from the press on every subject, so it's simply not true to say all I've done is attack Hillary Clinton, Fiorina said. Her speech offered Fiorina an ability to further distinguish herself in a Republican field where, despite impressing voters on the campaign trail, she remains a long shot in early state and national polls, and is fighting to make the first debate cut. Republicans have told Politico several RNC members are worried that Fiorina might not make it. They feel the party, which has struggled to win over female voters, would benefit greatly from having a woman on stage. And I agree with them. You know, some of the debate inclusion criteria that they're talking about having this year is that it's only the top 10 candidates mm-hmm. and that only the people who are polling above a certain threshold will be included in the debates, which, you know, sounds to me like a good idea. You can't just have like 50 people on a debate stage. You know, it's just chaos. You know, the anarchists win if that happens in that sense. But what stinks is that, you know, the name recognition is what really I think she suffers from, that people just don't know who she is. So Carly's really going to have to do a lot of work to get her name out there and to establish herself as a credible candidate so she can start polling.
Right, but I think just in the past month alone, I mean, she's made huge strides. And I think she's just someone that you don't want to underestimate, and to make a metaphor of what you're talking about. At CPAC, she was put on my radar when we were at, you know, the first night's happy hour, and Ben Carson had come in. We were like, oh, Ben Carson, cool. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we didn't know if other guests were coming, and we were all having a good time. We were a little tipsy, we were a little, you know, getting our drink on, right? And then everybody, it's loud, it's packed, we're in this small room, and it's CPAC, so it's a bunch of college kids. And then all of a sudden, there's this, you know, this mob that comes in, and then I'm beside her, and she whips a chair around, she takes her heels off, and this little, you know, 5'4" something woman stands up on the heel or on the chair, and she commands the entire room in 5 seconds. She's like, my name's Carly Fiorina, and I just wanted to come and say hey and tell you guys, you know, gives a little speech, and everybody's just jaw dropped. They're like, who is this chick? Where did she come from? And she was very cool. She commanded that room in no time. So I think she's just somebody that you don't want to underestimate
uh-huh.
because she's...
Seems like she's a good communicator.
Yeah.
Seems like
absolutely.
She's not afraid to sort of get out amongst the people and get her, you know, get her feet dirty, you know, get her feet
yeah.
a little muddy and say, hey,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, I'm going to come and rub elbows with you. That's interesting because, you know, so a party dominated by such hardcore elitists, you know, a lot of them, they don't like to come out and meet people. But Carly sort of probably does it out of necessity, right? She needs to get herself out there. She needs
right.
to be doing that kind of stuff so that she can actually get her numbers rising in the polls. But I think after her speech last night, she should start seeing some bumps because, to me, this is a very exciting and very unique speech. And she seems like a very exciting and very unique candidate. I'm not saying she's, you know, obviously I stand with Rand, but, you know, you and I were talking earlier about VP, and you mm-hmm. said she doesn't want to be VP. Well, how did you know that she doesn't want to
yeah,
be VP?
Yeah, so I'm friends with somebody that works on her campaign, and he said, you know, I've heard her talk, and she doesn't want that VP slot. I mean, of course, nobody's going
to
say
she
that.
She wants to be CEO.
Yeah.
She wants to be CEO of America. Well,
yeah.
I don't know that I necessarily want to inhibit her ambitions on that front, but the problem is that... you know, no. Of course, nobody wants to be
right.
VP. But I mean, it seems to me like she's got a big uphill climb on this one. It's not for any reason, of course, on our part that maybe that there's any forces working against her, but simply for forces outside of her control that she's going to need to get a handle on. Let's continue on. She says, I do think I'm in a unique position to have this conversation about the state of women in America because of the experiences I've had in my life, she added. In her speech, she put herself in the same league as women's suffragist and feminist author Betty Friedan for her place in history as the first female CEO of a Fortune 50 company. Still, her speech and conversation with reporters offered an implicit challenge to Clinton, who's working to energize female voters in part by pitching hers as a historic candidacy. And it also presents a starkly different vision than the Democratic Party, which has done well with female voters and messaged on issues such as pay equity and reproductive rights in recent years. The left has controlled this conversation, she said on a press call. They've defined the term feminine and feminist in a certain way. Feminism. And I think it's important that we reclaim that term. Go Carly. Over the years, feminism has devolved into a left-leaning political ideology where women are pitted against men and used as a political weapon to win elections. A feminist is a woman who lives the life she chooses, Fiorina said in her prepared remarks. Damn straight, Carly Fiorina, fist to the air. That is right. In the speech, Fiorina criticized liberals for claiming that those who oppose their agenda are waging a, quote, war on women, an attack line Democrats used heavily in the 2012 and 2014 cycles. She argued against legislating equal pay, as she has in the past. And I'm going to pause just right there. Hell yeah, Carly mm-hmm. Fiorina. The equal pay, the gender pay gap, you know, the big feminist myth that we have that women earn less for men. You know, I'm just going to make a quick point, and my our listeners, they probably already know this, of course, but there is a pay gap between men and women, but it's because of the choices that women make, not because of any inherent discrimination in the system, which I know is unsatisfying, because wouldn't it be so much more fun to think that you're a victim of the system, man, and the system it's got to get fixed, rather than the simple fact that women don't work as long of hours and they have babies and drop out of the workforce.
Or that teachers don't make as much as, say, a mechanical engineer.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of this like idea for equity, I think, is wrongheaded. And the reason why is because, you know, no one's complaining about the inequity of women in the nursing profession, right? So, I mean, you know, right. How come nobody's trying to integrate more men into the nursing profession? I mean, I think it's kind of a silly notion that we need to have equality when in reality, perhaps maybe we're all better off working on our relative strengths and trading, you know. Their liberals' misunderstanding of economics is rife throughout their entire ideology. So to them, they don't understand that trade-offs are necessary in order for us to have like a functioning economy. Like if you do what you do best, you trade for the rest. Mm-hmm. So the concept is that if I'm not good at this, then you can do this. Like I can't have babies. Maybe you can have babies. And like I'll go out and hunt and gather a bit.
But they want women to be better than men at everything.
They want men to be, right, exactly. Except when they
even
want...
Even at being men.
Except when it comes time to pay the bill for dinner. And then and then they're like, oh, gosh, I want a chivalrous man, right?
So I just wanted to say, like, in regards to the women's issue, when you strip all the, like, the rhetoric and ideology down between Clinton and Fiorina, you have to see, like, the truth is exposed. Which woman actually knows more about struggle and the fight for equality within their life? I mean, Hillary Clinton wrote on... That's going to sound sexual. She wrote on the back of her husband to where she is now. I mean, honestly, and Carly... Right. Made herself, you know.
From a secretary to CEO.
She dropped out of law school because she didn't like it. I'm reading her book, so I'm a little bit of a fan.
Yeah.
But she dropped out of law school, went and got a job as a secretary. Some guys came up to her one day and were like, we see that you work really, really hard. We can promote you. Promotion after promotion, she climbed the ladder. She became CEO. I mean, the woman is a breast cancer survivor. She lost her stepdaughter.
This has not been paid for by the Carly Fiorina campaign.
It should be, though. Intern status.
Intern status.
Yeah. And so she's actually overcome struggles. And so when you put all the rhetoric and all the claims aside, she actually knows more about women's rights and, you know.
Well, speaking of, let's continue.
Hillary.
I want to get to that because I was getting ready to do her economic plan here, but let's talk about women's rights here. Carly Fiorina was talking about progressive groups, Planned Parenthood, blah, 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 blah. Oh, she doesn't want women like to get free birth control, right? So listen to this. She called for over-the-counter birth control, an issue a few of her fellow GOP Republican hopefuls regularly talk about. Some conservatives, including Colorado Republican Senator Cory Gardner, have also called for over-the-counter birth control, saying it would expand access. Progressive groups such as Planned Parenthood have largely criticized the position as an empty gesture that would make women pay for the prescription. Listen to these sons of bitches. As opposed to having it covered for free under insurance provided by Affordable Care Act. That ought to tell you that Planned Parenthood is not about actually expanding options for women. Right. They don't care about expanding options for women. They want to control women, and they want to control the reproductive process. It's because if they wanted more freedom, then they would want to expand over-the-counter birth control. And they're saying, oh, well, that means that women would have to pay for it. Yeah, fucking A. Like, I have to pay for my health insurance, you know? Like, do you think when I go and I get, like, my prostate exam, that should be paid for by the government? Should you have to pay to have a doctor stick a finger up my woo-hoo hole and say, Austin, your prostate is enlarged? Not the same.
Aren't ED pills covered by Medicaid?
Are they?
I think they are.
Well, it's because it's, you know why? Because it's a dysfunction. It's erectile dysfunction is a medical dysfunction. And while I may not agree that should be paid for by Medicaid, it's not the same as birth control, which is it's not a dysfunction. You're inhibiting a
right,
function
okay.
rather than having a medical thing.
Right.
Okay. So it's not like a cosmetic or like a, you know, something like that. So again, not trying to be a misogynist here, just saying that the ED is something
triggered.
It's a medical condition.
I'm triggered.
So, listen to this. She goes, we have loads of data that supports when you put something over the counter, the cost plummets dramatically. She said, and I really think this is a specious argument on the Democratic side. Frankly, I don't understand why they're not supporting over-the-counter birth control. I think it's completely logical. Hell yes, Carly Fiorina. This is what did I say? I said this morning, I was like, that is libertarian as shit. That,
yeah. That libertarian as shit on the scale of how libertarian this is.
From one to shit, that's libertarian
as shit.
10 out of 10, most libertarian. She's absolutely right. I take allergies. I take Zyrtec. You know, it's called, it's at its base called cetirizine. And when I first started taking it when I was 16 years old, it was prescription only. I would have to go to the doctor. So if something's over the counter versus the doctor, it's not just the cost of the pill itself. It's the cost of going to the doctor to get the prescription to get the pill. And then you pay for the pill too. Right.
Yeah,
so there's a double cost here. And so what happened was that when cetirizine came over the counter, it went from being like this really insanely expensive prescription to being mildly expensive at the doctor's office, and now I can get them for almost nothing. Mm-hmm. Now I can go to Costco, get a pill, get a bottle of pills that's going to last me an entire year, and it costs me like $20. It's nothing.
Right.
And that's what the free market does in medicine. I mean, social Democrats, the ones who are the real socialists, who are the evil ones who want control, like Planned Parenthood, stuff like that, they're one thing. But I sort of feel like, you know, the rest is just a problem of economic ignorance on the Democrats' part. Like, if you really want expanded access to birth control, allowing market forces to work will expand people's choices. But again,
that's just too simple.
Well, it is. The thing is that there's this captured, you know, it's like the Obama zombies. You've got the useful idiots of the Democratic left who just don't understand how economics work.
Right.
Planned Parenthood and like the Social Democrats, they do understand how economics work. They're simply trying to control the flow. They want to control our lives. They want to control our medicine intakes because that's what they want. They want control. But it saddens me to know that like women who genuinely care about these issues just don't quite understand that this market, men and women, excuse me, mm-hmm. Don't understand how that the marketplace would work to provide things like expanded access to birth control, expanded access to healthcare. Did you want to say anything else on the topic?
Yeah, and so, you know, I take birth control, and this summer, in order to refill my prescription, my doctor wanted me to go home in the middle of the summer to have an appointment. You know, you have to, every so often, you have to have a checkup to make sure everything's okay to refill your prescription. And well, I'm gonna be in DC this summer is what I told him. He's like, oh, well, so, you know, can you come home? Mm-hmm. You want me to fly home for a checkup just to get my prescription refilled? I mean, imagine if I could just go to a Walgreens or a CVS here and buy it there, the amount of time and energy and everything, the money that would be saved from that would be way more, make way more sense.
Yeah. So I want to move on to another couple topics, talk about economics. She's pushing for school choice, says that benefits low-income mothers and daughters. She slammed the Dodd-Frank financial reform bill for harming small businesses and called for scaled-back regulations and reduced taxes to give female small business owners a fair shot. Well, she's doing that rhetoric just right. You can give me all the tax breaks. Throw me in that briar patch, Carly Fiorina.
Everything that she says is like drop the mic material.
Exactly. I'm like, go get him. Yeah, I hope that Carly Fiorina starts to expand her base because to me she sounds like, she sounds to me like a very exciting candidate and someone that the Democrats are just going to freaking hate, man. That was one of the reasons why I like Sarah Palin so much, not necessarily because she was so brilliant on economics or like, you know, was this, I mean, but she was a very self-made woman. But because Carly Fiorina seems to me like she has got the stuff, man. She has got the stuff. Let's see. Listen to this. Now her super PAC has been going crazy with attacks on Clinton. There's a new video that came out called Titles Are Not Accomplishments, echoing an attack line Fiorina often uses to argue that Clinton has accomplished little despite her experience as Secretary of State.
Yep.
Yeah, very, very true, very effective ads. You know, everybody, they had an MSNBC panel recently. Excuse me. And what they did was they got a bunch of Iowa Democrats in a room and they started asking them, what are your favorite accomplishments of Hillary Clinton?
Right.
And they couldn't say anything. Like, I can't remember anything that they did. And so I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's fantastic. Well, good job, Democrats. They're going to have a hard time going up against Carly Fiorina. I hope she gets in the debates. Did you want to say anything before we close it off?
I mean, how did Hillary Clinton become Secretary of State? Arguably her husband, arguably a man.
She floated. She needed a man.
She had to have a man to be Secretary.
She wasn't a strong, independent woman who didn't need no man.
Just saying.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think of Carly Fiorina? We watched some of her foreign policy stuff. There wasn't really too much in there that that gave us flags, but I think that we're going to just keep an eye on this lady. Right now, we're going to give her, we got two thumbs up for Carly Fiorina just now. She hasn't stuck her foot in her mouth yet, but we're waiting.
She's not libertarian as shit yet.
She's not libertarian as shit yet. She said some things that are libertarian as shit. Right now, she seems, but you know what? She's up there for me beyond... Like Rick Perry, she's definitely better than Scott Walker. I'll give her. I would put now in this race, in terms of likes, I would go Rand Paul, Carly Fiorina, Ted Cruz, and then you know what? I'm gonna put Rick Perry above Ted Cruz because at least Rick Perry came out in favor of marijuana, medical marijuana, and he's got a block.
He has those hipster glasses.
Okay, so it's for me, it's Rand Paul, Carly Fiorina, Rick Perry, Ted Cruz, Ford, and then everybody else makes sense. All right, well, what about you? Would you agree with that assessment?
I don't know if I would put Perry over Cruz.
Really? Cruz didn't stand with Rand in the NSA's thing, so he's done for
me.
He's down. And Perry didn't weigh in on that, so if Perry had weighed in on that on the against Rand, I would have.
Abolish Rand, that's just really like,
it's me down. Me too, but Ted Cruz, he didn't stand with Rand, so F you, credit Ted, you're still on my shit list. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to Freedom Report Podcast. If you enjoy our show today, go to iTunes.com, get the iTunes player, and subscribe. If you really like us, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. I know that you guys are out there and you're hearing, you're listening to me in your cars right now, and you can't do it now, but you'll do it when you get to the office. Come on, don't forget, we need your help. Just a little 5-star review. And if you don't have an Apple device, you can also find us on the Android app, Stitcher. Go to Stitcher.com and download the Freedom Report Podcast. Don't forget to come back every single day to your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at the Libertarian Republic.com.